Amen. I will always praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We praise you tonight. Appreciate each one of you as you join us tonight again for another program here on the Deliverance Today broadcast with Pastor John Kyle with you tonight. And we appreciate each one of you listening. And we pray you'll be blessed tonight as we share these things from the Spirit and from the Lord that we have to share with you. Let's open up with a little bit of news here. We have some good victories around the country here this voting week, like Virginia especially got rid of that crazy governor that was there that was so wicked and took in a Republican with who definitely plans to do better things, and hopefully we'll follow through on those things. So we thank God for that victory there. So, yeah, also a huge victory as the black woman, Winsome Sears, a black Christian lady, is the new lieutenant governor. And then Youngkin wins the governor race as the Republican governor. So, including the House of Delegates, which is what they call them there, which lost 6 seats from the Democrats. Yeah, so they've got some victories there in their state, huge Republican victory. Also, defund the police effort dealt a major blow in Minneapolis as the Minneapolis voters reject the attempt to dismantle and replace the police department there. Yeah, well, what would people be like without the police? That would be chaos. It would be rough. And we've already seen some of what that would be like. So anyway, thank God for the victories there. 284,000 illegal immigrants were apprehended at the southern border and were released into the United States by the Border Patrol in fiscal year 2021. Well, that's just those who were officially apprehended and released into the United States. How many more were not apprehended that got in? I tell you, a lot of them. And they're still coming every day. So we have, what happens when a country turns away from God? Well, they get overrun with all kinds of things coming into the country that is not necessarily good for the country. What a lot of people don't know today is that the investment firm founded by George Soros owns Bitcoin. And here we have all these people out here that are pushing Bitcoin, and then yet they're talking about how bad about George Soros, which he rightly so, the man, the wicked man. And so they're buying Bitcoin. What's wrong with that? That seems like almost a hypocrisy thing. I'm not sure about that one. Something I've been thinking about since I learned that, you know, that, hey, George Soros' firm, the investment firm that he founded, owns Bitcoin. So who's behind Bitcoin? Yeah, something to think about. Anyway, a Christian company uses artificial intelligence to create first ever virtual gospel artist. Now, there's something else to think about, really. Christian company using AI to create artificial artists, virtual. Really, should Christians be doing this type of thing? Should they be going down that road? Just some things to think about, you know. How deceived one can get anyway? How deceived can a person get? Well, we look at the students in China showing videos calling God wicked and a superstition. That's right. The Communist Party, of course, hates God. Chinese Communist Party hates God because they are anti-Christ in their whole true position that they hold. The CCP, they're definitely anti-Christ in their beliefs and the way that they're doing things. And so is it any wonder that they want to indoctrinate the students with videos calling God wicked and a superstition and who knows what else? Yeah, well, hopefully it'll backfire on them in Jesus' name, right? And the students will start turning to God, right? Amen. new study finds that only 13% of evangelical Christians tithe, and half evidently give away less than 1% of their income annually. So a lot of people are just simply not tithing and giving the Lord what's his, obviously, but they just found that out in a study, something that surely we know. How many true tithers are really in the church today anyway? John Piper, many of you know who he is. Supposedly, well, you know, we know he's an author and supposedly a theologian. He urges Christians to get vaccinated and resist the right-wing pressure. Really? He said, God, you know, alone owns you. Well, really, then why is he out there urging people to get vaccinated if God alone owns you? And if God owns us, preacher, then that's even more reasons not to get jabbed, right? I mean, Piper hadn't done his homework. Over 800,000 with serious side effects from the jab, and a number of thousands and thousands of people who have died from the jab. Hello, mister. You're not even researching this through. And I'm not going to listen to you. And I hope that other Christians won't listen to you either, because you're wrong. Okay? And going around telling Christians to get vaccinated and then telling them God alone owns you and don't be influenced by right-wing, quote, white right-wing pressure, really? I'm sorry. This man doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, no matter how many degrees he has after his name, how many books he's written, in these areas, he doesn't get it. Okay, that's my opinion of that. Biden orders 84 million Americans to take the jab. Will a third of the United States workforce quit? That's right. He ordered today that everybody with 100 or more employees that must be vaccinated. They mandated it, in other words. That they must be, or mandated that they should be vaccinated. Anyway, the devil has released its attack on the American worker, and he mandates workers to be jabbed. Lord have mercy on America. We have to stand up and say no, devil, and yes, God. When are we going to get the guts and the backbone to stand up to the devil anyway in this country? It's time. We say no devil and yes God, and allow Jesus to have his way with his people, because we belong to the Lord. We don't belong to the world. The world didn't buy us with no price. God bought us with the price of precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. So, hey, I've been bought with a price and I belong to the Lord, and I'm certainly going to listen to him, not to some theologian that called self-proclaimed theologian. I don't care how many doctorates he gets after his name. Listen, if he doesn't know the things of the Spirit, he doesn't know. Simply doesn't know. You got to know the things of the Spirit. You got to have spiritual discernment. You got to develop a last days mentality that is quickened by the Holy Spirit. All right. Anyway, welcome to the program tonight. That's the news tonight. That's all I'm going to share. As far as news goes. And so thanks for tuning in here this fifth day of November. Got ahead of myself a week. So yeah, we're in the first week of November 2021. And these are interesting times. And sometimes you think, hey, those were the good old days before all this stuff started happening, before COVID and worldwide manipulation and all this stuff that's been going on. In some ways they were a better day. In some ways they were bad days also, because the wicked devil was around them too, doing his wicked thing. And he hasn't quit since Adam and Eve fell, and he isn't going to quit till Jesus comes. So we need to win against him. Amen. We're going to open up in prayer here as we get into the program now. I pray the Lord will bless you tonight and speak to you. We pray God will lead you in these days that we live in tonight. That's one of my themes of prayer tonight. I want to just pray God will lead you. You'll be led by the Spirit. and you would know the direction that your life should go, and that you would walk in it and not let the enemy stop you from moving forward with your life in these hours that we're living in right now that are different than any other you've ever lived in. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight. I lift them up, Father, and ask you to give them divine direction, divine instruction, Father, that they would be led by your Spirit, that they would be moved by you, Father, not by all the things of this world and the demonic and all the darkness out there and things that the enemy is doing. But, Father, instead, we'd be moved by you. We'd be directed. We'd be led by you, Father, that we make the right decisions with our families and our life, in our jobs, in our health. And Father, would we be wise, Father, by your Spirit, that you would make us wise and that you would guide us and lead us into all truth, Father, that we would walk in wisdom and truth in this time, Father, and that we would truly know the leading of the Holy Spirit, Father. And Lord, there's a lot of people that say they're being led by the Spirit today, but I just know from the fruit of what's happening in their life, they haven't been led by the Holy Spirit. But they like to believe that they are. And a lot of people like to believe a lot of things, but that doesn't make it true just because somebody wants to believe that there's something or that they got something right. Doesn't make it that they have it right. It needs to be verified and confirmed by the Word of God and by the confirming of the Holy Spirit too, the witness of the Holy Spirit, that is. So, Father, we thank you for leading my brothers and sisters, Father. And thank you, Lord, for protection, divine protection from the wicked one and the devices of darkness. And we rebuke the devices of darkness tonight. We rebuke the lies of Satan and the deceiving temptations that would try to sidetrack and waylay Christians and pull them out of the way and cause them not to walk uprightly. Father, we rebuke that carnal spirit, that fleshly spirit that wants to get a hold of Christians and make them think about life in terms of the flesh and lust and sexual things and get them focused on sex and the things of the manifestations of the flesh and the sins of the flesh and all the things they could be doing in their flesh with their sexually, that is. I just rebuke those sexual spirits, those lustful spirits that attack so many of the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ with trying to pull them off course for cheap thrills and even what they might think is love in some cases. But sex isn't love. Sex can include and be have love, but it by itself is not love. And so, Father, we thank you for wisdom concerning these things, Father. And Lord, we ask you to bless the program tonight, Father. We just ask you to minister by the power of your Spirit. Thank you that we have ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear what you want to say, Father, because we want to hear it. Father, we have ears to hear, Father, and eyes to see. And thank you, Lord, that you've got us living right now in this time and season in the world right now for a purpose and a plan, Father. And even if you haven't revealed fully your purposes and plans to everybody listening, Father, you will. And it doesn't mean you don't have a purpose and a plan just because they may not see it yet. So I thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding in those areas too, Lord, that we will know our purpose and know your plans for our lives and we will fulfill them, Father, that we will not be remiss in missing out and on the things of God that you have for us yet, still here, Father. And as long as we're here, you're going to use us if we'll make ourselves available to you. And Lord, we do. We just make ourselves available to you, God. And Lord, we thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, Lord. And we're clean before you. And we can come in boldly and partake of the word here tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I try not to overdo my voice tonight. It's still not where I want it to be, but in Jesus' name, it's getting better and better every day. But I just thank God for a voice that will hold up throughout all this, the word that we're going to be sharing with you tonight. And thank God for healing completely. Thank you for your prayers, and I'm praying for every listener to the broadcast and every giver to the broadcast every day, too. And I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I appreciate your prayers as well for myself and Linda and our victory here. Amen. All right. Are you properly clothed? That's the title tonight. We're going to get into this. If you're ready, I'm ready, and we're going to get into this and be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Praise God. You know, the questions that all religions of the world try to answer is how can man escape the wrath of God? And some have declared God is not a God of wrath, while others have made themselves God. But ultimately, all religions of the world except for true Christianity answer this question by saying you escape the wrath of God through your own good works, by being and doing good, by your own self-righteousness. Hello. Well, you know that, of course, the majority is going to be wrong because the majority is under the influence of demons, and they're just touting what demons tell them to say, right? And so this is demonic. It's wrong. But it's what the world believes. But the Bible declares man's self-righteousness all added together are nothing but filthy rags in Isaiah. Let's go read it, Isaiah 46, as we start out reading tonight. Here, Isaiah 46. And this is what the Word of God thinks about our righteousness and mankind's righteousness apart from God. It says here, Isaiah 64, and we're going to read verse 6. 64, verse 6. So I had the wrong page there. Here we go. But we are as an unclean thing. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's what God has said about all that. So, you know, no matter how fancy man's little answer to the question is, the answer is that only God can provide us with the right kind of righteousness. Thus, we are all totally dependent on God, totally dependent on Jesus for the imputing of his righteousness. You know, imputed is an ancient business term which simply means to credit you with something that you don't have yourself. That's right. He imputed us with righteousness. Look over to Romans 4, verse 6 through 8. It says here, even Dave, as David also described the blessedness of the man whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Notice he said here, blessed is the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord, verse 8, will not impute sin. Did you know God's not imputing sin to you and me? Oh, man, thank God for that. You should get the revelation of that one. So I mean, hey, it'll help you in your warfare. It'll help you in your daily life. It'll help you in victory over sin. Hey, God is not imputing sin to us. You getting that? The Lord will not impute sin. It doesn't say he might not. It said he will not. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Wow, praise God. So you and I don't have the righteousness of our own. So God imputes to us what we don't have of what he does have. I like what he has anyway better than anything I had of my own, right? And see, if one is to give something, he must first have it to give. And listen, we don't have righteousness to give to ourselves. But you know, God has it, man. God has it. And this fact of receiving imputed righteousness is what makes true Christianity different from all the other religions of the world, all the other religious people of the world, okay, and all the other religions too. See, none of us, no matter how good we are, has right and perfect standing with God unless we receive it from God on God's terms. And that's what we did when we got born again and we had his righteousness imputed to us. and sin is no longer imputed to us. Hey, God does not want us to be religious. God wants us to be righteous. Religion is simply a cloak for man's demonic pride and an I can do it myself attitude that is rooted in pride and religion and self-righteousness. But righteousness of God is God's clothing for us. Religion is man clothing himself with more fig leaves, nothing but a bunch more fig leaves, just doing what he did in the garden. It doesn't do anything for him. Hey, God's righteousness is God becoming your tailor, our tailor, and him clothing us. Hallelujah, with heavenly made clothing. I'm going to take that heavenly made clothing anytime. How about you? See, if we clothe ourselves, we're still naked anyway, and we ought to be ashamed. But if he clothes us, and we have nothing to be ashamed of before God. You know, even though a lot of Christians are ashamed before God and they're feeling guilty all the time, feeling all this condemnation, even though they come in that way, listen, it's not accurate. And even though we failed and failed again and again and again, hey, we have nothing to be ashamed of before God if we're seeing ourselves through his eyes, see. But see, a lot of people, we're seeing us through the eyes of the demons that have painted pictures for us all our lives and troubled us and caused us problems that we shouldn't be having to deal with because we believe wrong, see, when we believe these demons. And so we all have and probably still will fail, but many Christians suffer under the load of their failures with a lot of guilt and a lot of condemnation. And we need to learn some things tonight here about guilt-free living, condemnation-free living, guilt-free living. So I want to just teach you some things tonight about that as we go into this deeper. So number one, he who sees from eternity does not judge us by the temporary. Got to remember that God sees us from eternity, and he is not judging you by the temporary. So when God called David to be king, did he know of the great sin that David would one day commit with Bathsheba and her husband and her getting pregnant out of wedlock and all these great sins that David would do? You think God knew that these things would happen? Of course he knew, but he loved David, and he used him before the sin, and he used him after the sin, didn't he? Absolutely. He doesn't reject you just because you sin, and a lot of Christians feel that way. They believe lies of demons, see, and they get controlled by demons in these areas. And they believe that God rejected them because of their sin. And they believe that he rejects them during their sin and after their sin and before their sin. And because he knew they were going to sin, so how could he not reject them? Well, see, that's lie. But say you sin one bad, really bad one day. Well, most people think, well, first, God is going to punish them. Secondly, God can never use them again like he used to. And these are both demonic lies. These are demonic spirits talking to you to try to program you to believe something wrong and that is not according to the word of God. But the Lord knew all the mistakes. He knew all the sins, and he knew all the failures that you would make when you first got born again and all the years of your Christian life. Have you ever made some doozies, some big ones, right? Who hasn't? As a Christian. And yet, you know what? He still loves you. He's still chosen you. He still accepts you. Fully he accepts you. In fact, he said you are accepted in the beloved. You know, I don't know how much better it could get than that, really. And so for you to sit there and slap God upside the face and say you don't believe that and that you just feel guilty and condemned and that he's condemning you and all that, you know, just to call God a liar, see? And we shouldn't do that. Because it's just inaccurate. It's the picture that God hasn't painted, but the picture that the enemy has painted of your life and what he thinks about you and what God thinks about you, even though it's inaccurate, because the devil cannot paint an accurate picture of what God thinks about you because he is not a spiritually alive being any longer. He's living in darkness, so he can't paint an accurate picture. He can paint a lie. He can paint a deceiving thing, but he can't paint the truth. And so the prodigal son's father, was he dwelling on and bringing up all the sins of his son, his prodigal son, all his failures when he came home? Did he do that? Did he even think to do that? No, he just loved his son so much But he went on from where the sin was then, not the failures of yesterday's or even the failure of 5 minutes ago. He put the ring of authority on his finger and killed the fatted calf and went on like the son had never sinned. Hey, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from how much sin? You better get that down and get it down good. Remember, he who sees from eternity does not judge us by the temporary. Got to remember that. That's point number one I want you to get tonight. We're going to move on here, but the next point a minute. But I want to just belabor a little more on that because sometimes our sins and failures cause us serious problems in life. And in the natural, we may reap some consequences to what we've sown in the natural realm, but it's not necessarily coming from God. But what sin and failure is it that can separate us from his love? What sin and failure could separate you from God? Is there any sin that could do that? What does the Bible say about that? Remember in Romans 8, he says, knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors. Romans 8:37, more than conquerors through him that loves us, for I'm persuaded in neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. See, the devil wants you to think that God doesn't love you anymore, but it just says right here that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hey, come on, wake up. Hello. The devil wants you to think you're separated from the love of God, from the forgiveness of God, from the grace of God. And what did we just read? Nothing can separate you. No devil, no principality, no power. We got to get that right. Even the sin of Judas betraying Jesus did not doom him. I mean, it did ultimately, but we probably all betrayed Jesus as Christians in one way or another. I mean, just not wanting to pray over your meal in a restaurant because of people being there yourself being embarrassed. If that's a betrayal of Jesus, wouldn't you call that a betrayal of Jesus? Some little demon says, what will they think of you if you pray in public? Oh, God forbid you pray in public. Oh, my. Yeah, too many times little demons speak a little something in a person's mind, and a godly behavior is twisted or quenched or changed. Well, I remember about 6 months ago or so, we went out to a place and ate and prayed over the meal, as always, publicly with people around us, and don't know who was paying attention. We didn't know if anybody was paying any attention at all. It doesn't matter as long as we're doing what we know we need to do. And so publicly and openly and unashamed, we prayed. Well, somebody must have been watching us. Maybe the owner on a camera. I don't know. But somebody was watching us, and we go up to pay, and they said, your meal's been taken care of. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you. And we weren't even in our own city, you know. We were out of town in some other town that they didn't know us. But someone saw us pray and was touched and paid for our meal. Like I said, it could have been the owner. How many times do people let demons rob them? Hey, it may be just little things, but you know what? Those little influences of demons do have a lot of effect on people over a lifetime. I mean, just think, how many times over your lifetime has a demon said, oh, don't do that. You might be embarrassed. Or someone might see you, you know, but don't be bold about Jesus. Don't witness to so-and-so. Be quiet. Don't share your faith, you know, or just hold back in this area, or don't lift your hands up and worship God. Don't be embarrass yourself in church or wherever you're at, or, you know, and all these different little voices. How much do they add up over a lifetime? You ever think about that? How many times have you compromised due to that little demon? I hate evil. You know, I just hate those demons. I hate what demons have done to Christians. I hate what they've done to the human race. I hate what fallen angels have done, because I hate evil, and the Bible commands us to hate evil. If you're not hating evil, then you haven't got everything right in your belief, see, because the Bible commands us to hate evil. And so we hate these evil demons and their work and what they're doing, what they plan in people's minds, and how that accumulates over a lifetime. How many times over a lifetime have you let demons influence you and rob you Was he just this little thing? How many times have we let demons influence our lives? I say way too many. I mean, we are going to have to shut these tempestuous voices down, these tempestuous voices of demons, reject them and what they have to say and what they plant in our mind, reject it in Jesus' name, people. How much trouble do you think a demon might cause you? As much as they can get away with, that's how much. Come on. A demon can cause you a whole lot of trouble if you let them get away with it. Reject them and what they have to say. Reject what they're planting in your mind, the temptation thoughts that they plant in your mind. Amen. Reject them and what they have to say. You know? That's right. You know, they'll take as much ground as you would allow them to have. And sometimes, too, the ground is already there. You ever think about some of the ground that's already there? And there's already, and things just keep happening. Even if you know, even if you vow that they won't happen again. You know, I mean, how famous it is that people said, oh, I'll never do that again. I've learned my lesson. And all those Hollywood confessions, I've learned my lesson now. I'll never do that again. I'll never do end up in that mess, end up in that sin, and end up in that problem. You know, oh, yeah, right. The world says that. The world says that. But they can't help it many times because the ground is already there. I'll never do that again. I'll never act that way again. But because of genealogical spirits, generational ancestral bloodline spirits and issues from family members, you repeat the same thing repeatedly throughout your life. That's right. In one way, shape, or form or another, you do keep repeating it because the things are already there. They already have ground there. They already have ground in your life, and you haven't even recognized the ground yet. How many know that just because you've got deliverance for some things doesn't mean you've got deliverance for all things? And it doesn't mean that you know what all is in there either. Just because you've gotten some things out of you doesn't mean you know what else all is in there. You might know some of the stuff, but how many know nobody knows everything that's in them? You don't know all the demon ground that they have taken in your life through generational curses or bloodline curses and different things. A lot of things you don't discover till you get older. And more mature because you don't handle it well when you're younger. And you don't deal with it. And God knows you're not able to deal with it. And you're not willing to deal with it. So they'll just put it on the hold there until hopefully you get to the place where you are ready to deal with those spirits and get free from them. Otherwise, you just go keep going through it until you do deal with it. You keep going through things in one form or another. Right? You may not want to, and you even try not to, but they just keep on happening. And so, folks, we need to wake again, wake up to the world of evil spirits and their work against their human host. Realize that they are so active that they don't need to sleep. They don't sleep at night like you and I do. No. No, they just continue to trouble, to torment, to wear out, to harass, to quench God any way they can, and to keep you from a strong relationship with Jesus and keep you in condemnation and guilt. I mean, the list just goes on and on as long as evil goes. And there's a lot of evil in this world. How many know that? You can look around. You don't have no shortage out there of evil going on. So remember, as we have done to the, we need to remember some things here, okay? As we have done to the least of these, we have done it to the Lord. And Judas could have been forgiven for his betrayal, just as we can be forgiven for our betrayal. What put Judas beyond help was that he hung himself, right? He attempted to go and take matters into his own hands. He attempted to atone for his own sin. He got in a position that, you know, listen, there's no redemption there. No redemption there. But haven't you and I done the same thing, try to atone for our sins sometimes? You think it ever got us anywhere? No, it didn't. try to suffer for your own sin, try to abuse yourself to atone for your own sin. No, it doesn't get you anywhere. See, Jesus has seen every failure you would ever make in your whole lifetime, yet he doesn't judge you on the basis of those failures. He doesn't. And you need to quit judging yourself on the basis of those failures. You need to do what he does. Forget about it. Know that it's washed away forever. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Hebrews 10, let's look at verse 10, chapter 10, verse 11. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all, right? And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice. We can never take away sin. In verse 14, for the, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering, he did it forever. See, forever, it's a forever thing with Jesus. You know, a lot of people think, well, they're all the time worried they're going to lose their salvation. And yeah, you can give up your salvation, but, you know, if you're walking with Jesus, you can't lose your salvation. You can't do that. You can give it up anytime. You could reject it. You could renounce it. You could walk away. But, you know, you can't just lose it walking down the road one day. And I was walking down the well one day, and I dropped my salvation off. No, it doesn't happen that way. It just left me. No, it's never going to leave you, just like Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See? Your salvation isn't going anywhere unless you want it to go somewhere, right? You can reject it, but you're not going to lose it. See? So there's some terminology that we need to get right there. Okay? But forever, that one offering of himself and his blood was your judgment. His blood is our judgment. Amen? Point number two. That's another way that people do it. They attempt to pay for our own sin. Attempting to pay for their own sin and only increases the person's guilt. We need to know that. Attempting to pay for our own sin only increases the person's guilt. Yeah, we should be convicted about our sin so we won't continue just doing them. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to change and the power to change. But we must not try to pay for them by punishing ourselves. This has become an insult to the grace of God, folks. The sin of self-atonement is more deadly to a Christian than going out and murdering a person and receiving forgiveness. That's right. The sin of self-atonement. Let me explain it a little bit to you. This sin separates us from grace. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? See, so they started out well, but they got hindered. They got off course here. And God is correcting them and bringing them back under the alignment if they'll listen to him. And the fact through Paul, and the fact is that the doctrines of human penance for sin led the world into the so-called dark ages, right? I mean, purgatory, right? They even sold indulgences, the Catholic abomination, right? The popery and the Pope foolishness and all of that, with that religious spirit that was sitting up there in Rome and still is today. And so this abomination brought the world into the dark ages and deceived so many. And they sold indulgences by which one could pay money to release their loved ones from the consequence of themselves, from the consequences of their sins, even as those of their dead relatives. Also, they created a false place that doesn't exist, which they just made up, called purgatory. But the fact is about this, the life is in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the life is in the blood of Jesus. So any spiritual life that a Christian has is to be found and had only in and through the precious blood of Jesus, not through some Catholic abomination, not through some religious system of man and devil, but it can only be found through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's where the life is, folks. Amen. So any life I have, that's the blood. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. Let's go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 22. Demons hate the blood for a reason, folks. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, nor yet that he should offer himself, often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus did that, right? Let's go jump over here to chapter 10, verse 20 here. It says, by a new and living way is how he did it, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. Amen. Amen. We're drawing near. And there is remission of sin. Remember, verse 18? He said, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way. We're doing that. We should be living that way. So any religion or doctrine that does not exalt the blood of Jesus and its eternal effect will only lead to spiritual darkness and death. That's it. I mean, listen, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. The forgiveness is in the blood. The cleansing is in the blood. Everything's in the blood. Without the blood, there's nothing but death. That's right. With the blood, life everlasting. Demons hate the blood of Jesus. That's why another reason they hate it when you use it in deliverance. Because God's life is in the blood. The life of God is in the blood. The demons hate the life of God. They're separated from the life of God. They're separated from the love of God. They're separated from the presence and power of God. See? They can't live in and partake of that anymore because they're living in outer darkness. I mean, they're living out in darkness. They're not living in the light anymore. They got cast out of the light. So if the blood is there and active and alive, which it is, then what right does guilt have to have a dominating place in your life? You know, only what you're deceived into giving into guilt, you know, whatever area you deceive into giving into it. Because guilt is in bondage. It'll bring you into bondage. And there's no place for it with the blood of Jesus if the blood is there. So what does guilt do? It reminds you of your failure. It dwells on death and sin and the flesh. But the blood is life. So as long as we give place to guilt, we're giving place to the devil because guilt is reminding us of what the blood was shed to do away with, right? Death and sin, our failures. It keeps reminding us of our failures all the time because we're giving place to guilt, see? Death and sin, our failures. And the Bible says to give no place to the devil, so give no place to sin and death. Right? So what are we doing giving place to these demons and giving place to sin and death and giving place to the tormenting guilt and the condemnation of the enemy? So we could also say give no place to guilt. Give no place to the devil and give no place to guilt and the demon of guilt, because who brings guilt? Who brings conviction? The Holy Spirit brings conviction. And who brings guilt? Does the Holy Spirit bring guilt and keep you guilty all the time and beat down under your sins and failures and faults of every day? See, conviction is not a reminder of your sin, but a reminder of the goodness of God. The goodness of God leads to repentance. See, the goodness of God is that He shed his blood to wash away whatever your sin was. So let the blood do it, right? Just let it do it. But guilt just reminds you over and over and over and over and over about your sins and your failures and your faults and the last time you messed up, the last time you gave into your lust, your lustful temptation or whatever, that anger, that greed, that jealousy. See, does God do that? No, he forgets. So what are you doing? When you're entertaining these things, what are you really doing? You're entertaining demons, see? Because the goodness of God leads to repentance, a turning away from sin. And when you turn away from something, you leave it behind, don't you? You quit looking at it. You quit dwelling on it anymore, right? And so turning away from sin, you just quit dwelling on that sin, quit giving it the right to have the dominance that it's having in your life so much of a time, see? Amen. And there's no really. Why should we give dominance to sin? The Bible says sin shall have no more dominion over you under grace. No more. But if you go back under the law, it'll have dominion again. But you don't have to let it have dominion. See? See, your guilt just reminds you over and over and over and over and over about your sins and your failures. And God doesn't just keep reminding you of that. See, when you initially tell it goodbye, there may be some remorse and some pain when you initially tell the sin goodbye because, man, listen, you've been, you know, you've got soul tied with the sin. You've been doing it a long time. You like it, parts of you like it. But then you leave it there, and then that's where it stays. See? Don't dwell on it anymore. When you leave it, you leave it behind, and you don't dwell on it anymore. And I know initially there may be, oh, I hate to let that go. Yeah, I know, but hey, it's better for you. Your life will be better without it. You know, and as 1 John 1:7 says, as we walk on in the light, we have fellowship with God, and that blood continuously cleanses us from all sin. That blood has cleansed me right now, even though I'm not doing anything. Yep, it's cleansed me. The blood is continually on me. See? We are bloody people. We have the blood of Christ on us all the time. So where does guilt have the right to live in a believer? It doesn't. You know, it doesn't, but we've let a trespasser in. And now it may be difficult to remove him because, hey, he'll tell you he belongs there because, after all, he's been there so long, right? He's only lying, though. You can't get him out. You can't. You do have the authority to do it. You just have to make up your mind. You're not going to put up with this anymore and play the games over and over and over again that he keeps you going around and around in your life. So let's have the blood remove all guilt and all the sin and all the condemnation. Hey, and if you're under conviction, then just allow that to take place and turn from it and move on. I don't just stay there in that kind of a situation or circumstance any longer, see? So we are going to have to discover and know today that there is no place, no position, no person that is so far away from Jesus that Jesus can't manifest his power to him. That's right. There's not. See, the only mountains God won't climb for us to manifest his power to us, us believers are the mountains of unbelief and fear, right? Because, hey, you could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. You could do much deliverance there because of their unbelief. Couldn't do much because of their fear. There's, you know, fear equals unbelief. And see, God is present everywhere, whether you're in the wilderness, whether you're in a rich forest, or whether you're out in the desert somewhere, God is there. Remember Jacob after conning his brother out of the birthright and tricking his father into blessing him instead of Esau? He was in exile from his family because Esau sought to kill him. Remember the story? Here he was out in the wilderness, probably down and discouraged maybe, and all he could do was find for a pillow with a rock to put his head on. And yet God was there. That's right, God was there. Let's go read it, Genesis 28. God is there, and he was there then, when even though Jacob was called the supplanter, he was called a bad name. I mean, that was his name. He didn't have a very good name. And God had to change his name. Genesis 28:15. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was right there. God was, and he didn't even know it. See? And he recognized that God was there. And Jacob thought he was alone, but God was right there with him. And even though he was in exile from his family and friends, not knowing what was ahead, God was with him and told him that. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, listen, man, the man who was called a supplanter, the man who was a bad man, did bad thing, conniving thing, just like many of us have done in life, right? How many times have you felt that way, all alone, and perhaps you just failed or sinned or some awful way or said something you wish you hadn't said and acted in a way you wish you hadn't acted or had an argument with your husband or your wife or your children or something? Some awful way, and surely you must be all alone. But no, you're not. God's right there with you. You got to understand that. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And surprisingly, he's for you, and he will bless you. And that's the thing you got to get into yourself, to know that God is for you, and he's wanting to bless you. His desire is to bless you. See, no matter what you're facing, what situation you're in today, right now even, God is right there with you. In fact, wherever you go, God is already there waiting to meet you there, and he's going with you as you go there and love you and keep you there. Let me give you some facts about God that's going to help you, especially if the walk gets difficult. And the walk has been difficult for a lot of people lately. You know, I just, someone that I used to pastor just let me know this week that they had COVID. So, Father, we just lift them up, Father, and thank you for healing them. In Jesus' name, living in another state, a long ways from here. I didn't know where they were. It's been years since I even seen or heard them, but heard from them. And they have COVID. So we rebuke that COVID off of them in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for healing them. Okay, so number one, we need to know he will never walk out on you. You know, how many ever been walked out on? But had some boyfriend, girlfriend walked out on you, husband, wife walked out on you, family member walked out on you, or you walked out on somebody, God will never walk out on you. Hebrews 13:5 says, he says, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got to quit worrying about that. He's going to leave you or forsake you. Where is that coming from? See, it's not coming from God. See, because we know this, and only when you really do know this, that he will never leave you. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, you can only say that because you know the previous verse that we just read, that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can only walk in verse 6 if you know that verse 5 is true for you. If verse 5 is true, then verse 6 becomes a reality. And then you can walk and talk boldly. The Lord is my helper. Who are people that I should be afraid of them? Who is the devil that I should be afraid of him? I rebuke him in Jesus' name. But we need to have a revelation of this truth. That my God says, my God. You get that? My God. My God says, my God will never leave me or walk out on me. Never, 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 and never, 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 and never means never. See, that a lot of times the problem is that we're flooded with information, but starving for a revelation. Okay? Because we need a revelation of the Spirit, a quickening of things that are true in the Word. Oh, yeah, you might have all kinds of information. You've been listening to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and all this information you got, but you're not getting the revelation. You're not getting the quickening of the Spirit. Lord, we have got to have knowledge from you become truth revealed. That's what it needs to be. It needs to be truth revealed or revelation knowledge. See, wherever you are in your journey through life, We're always in God's presence. We're always in God's presence. Even when you're sitting on your throne there looking real pompous and glorious there. I mean, he's there in that bathroom with you. Yeah. You don't have to go somewhere to be in his presence. Wherever you are, you can know surely the Lord is in this place. That's what Jacob said. He had no idea at the beginning, but he realized, hey, Lord, you're here. Surely the Lord is in this place. And see, we need to keep that mentality daily. We also need to know God is not a fair weather friend. He never changes. Remember what he says in Malachi 3:6. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change, okay? He doesn't change. All that God made here in time changes. See, the word immutable is used to describe anything that has the capability of change. Mutable, right? Okay. So when there's a drastic change, we call it a mutation, right? When there's a drastic change, the mutant is here, you know, it mutated, you know, drastic change. Anything that does not change is called immutable. How many know that only God is immutable, right? Salvation, faith, hope, these attributes of God, they're immutable. Love, salvation, faith, hope, you know, all of these. The earth is changing. Weather is changing. You are changing, hopefully for the better in Jesus' name through grace. But God is always the same. And so if he loves you today, he's going to love you tomorrow. Not like some people, you know. Some days they're loving and some days they're not so loving. Or some days you're loving and some days you want to condemn everybody to hell, you know. But one thing that is definitely constant about God, his creatures, is change, okay? So as long as we live here, this old wicked world, there's going to be change. And there is change influenced by the Spirit of God, and there is change influenced and promoted by evil spirits. And we need to learn to discern the difference. Discerning the spirits is going to have to become a pretty large priority in these latter days. Have you developed discernment of spirits? Are you very discerning of spirits that are operating in your own life, your own family, and your own workplace? Sadly, I see many in the church today, even pastors and ministers, who lack discernment of spirits. Oh, man, I've seen it so many times. Spirits of evil, even spirits of false doctrine, can be right there ministering to them and through them, and yet they fail to see it, you know? Like I'm here saying, boy, I could sure see that. But it's like some people, you put truth right in front of their face and they still just embrace the lies and false doctrine, and they keep on teaching and they keep on parroting something that's been proven to be true, false a long time ago. But still, they keep on parroting the lies and therefore people believe the lies. And there's stuff in the church like that. This is how deceptive the devil can be. This is how deceptive the enemy can be. We need to not be ignorant of our enemy today. He will deceive the very elect if he can get away with it in these latter days, especially those who have embraced the pre-trib, any minute at rapture. I tell you, that is amazing to me still, that people are still buying into this pre-trib rapture stuff. I heard a false rapture teacher this week just, oh, the mark of the beast is not here yet. I have all these reasons why it can't happen yet. Right, it's all those rapture reasons because we haven't been raptured yet. And see, if we're raptured, then it can all happen, but it can't happen until we're raptured. Well, you're going to find out that that's all a lie and that you've been deceived and that's not in the Bible at all. And here you're wondering why you're not raptured. Here you are right before the second coming of Christ. He's about to come back. I said, well, I wonder why we haven't been raptured yet. And surely the mark of the beast is, you know, some of this sure looks like the mark of the beast. What's going on here? But we haven't been raptured yet, so it can't be the mark of the beast. It can't be, you know, the Antichrist. It can't be this. It can't be that. And they have all their little things. Calvary Chapel is really bad about this, you know. They really embrace this false thing. And and they'll try to convince you, and they'll try to convince each other, and it's all a deception, and it's not in the Bible. You can't prove a pre-trib rapture out of the Bible. The Bible says he's coming at the last trumpet, not at some pre-trib catching away, and leave us here to all go through a big mess here. And so they have these weird beliefs about the jab, too, and of course, the jab is not the mark, right, because too much has still not happened yet according to Bible prophecy. I can always recognize these rapture teachers. I can always recognize them because no matter how sly they try to be to bring in their false doctrine, I recognize the false doctrine because it's the same old thing, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Yeah. And they say, well, too much has still not happened according to Bible prophecy. Hello, when are people going to wake up? Yeah, according to who? Calvary Chapel, Tim LaHaye, or the latest pre-trib rapture teaching? Yeah. Although nothing new there, of course. They've just been repeating the same old deception since the late 1800s when this first started, really coming in as a false doctrine into the church, yeah. This false teaching came out back then in the 1800s. Now, you think demons don't get into doctrine and deceiving people about end time or other areas of church life, folks? Come on. Demons get their grubby little hands on anything and everything to try to deceive and to trick and pull the wool over people's eyes. We need to be on guard. Because a large segment of Christianity believes this false doctrine, and they are going to be greatly deceived in these latter days. They already are being, okay? And I'm not saying the jab is necessarily the mark of the beast. I'm just saying that they're just totally discounting it almost. Or they say, well, we say maybe it's something, and maybe it's this. And, you know, okay, just whatever. Just shut up, okay, and let's move on, because I'm not gonna believe your deception that you're trying to force out there and trying to teach like you got some big revelation when it's a deception. And people need to wake up to that false, deceiving thing. Because, hey, if we were going to be raptured out, you think that maybe we would already been gone by now? Things are getting worse and worse all the time in the world. But the Bible's way is that he brings us through the difficulties and through the fires and through the floods. And then at the last trumpet, he will deliver us, and he will come in the clouds of glory, and we're caught up to be with him as he comes in the clouds of glory, and we come down with him and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And that's the way the Bible teaches, but, you know, this is why, you know, they've got these false teachings here to deceive people, and that's what Satan has really been busy doing in these latter days. He's going to deceive the elect if possible. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, anyway, we need to get it right. And I could teach on this with a whole message about the rapture and the false rapture. At the end, what's going to happen? The Bible says the Son of Man, Jesus, shall send forth, Matthew 13, will send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things which offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, the rapture people says one should be in the field, one should be taken, one should be left. And they say that's the righteous in the rapture. Well, that's false. That's totally false, because this proves that old thing in Matthew 13. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. Is that where the righteous are going? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he repeats it again. So shall it be at the end, in verse 49, the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, so he's taking the wicked out of the kingdom of God. He's not taking the righteous out of the righteous out of the wicked and leaving the wicked behind. No, he's taking the wicked out, removing them, it says right here in the Bible, and throwing them into the fire. Right? And for us, what's happening to us is that we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Yeah, and never be separated from the Lord. And we're caught up to him with him, to be with him in the air as he comes down to rule and reign on the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Anyway, I don't want to get into that too much more anyway, but that's enough to know that the devil is certainly using this one to lie, trick, deceive, and pull the wool over people's eyes. Okay? Demons can use change too. Okay? How? Well, that's one of the effects of change. What is it? Is that it always keeps us a little off balance, confused, uncertain, and sometimes bewildered. And we're often not sure what to do, where to go, or who to trust. When change, there's a lot of change going on, people get a little, you know, they don't like it. They don't like change. And this is why we've got to put our trust in the one who changes not. He said in Proverbs, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because your own understanding is always changing. God is not changing. But your understanding doesn't produce the best fruit. How many know that? Our understanding doesn't always produce the best fruit. Sometimes it produces a fruit that's not too good. Okay? But see, God doesn't change his mind one day and say, well, I don't think I like old so-and-so today. He's really been messing up lately a whole lot and really bothering me. I think I'll just jerk away from him his salvation. Thank God he's not that. This is not true. I mean, thank God this is not the way God is. The fact is that God in his being has never changed. And he is not now changing, nor will he ever change. What God is yesterday is today, and what he is today, he'll be tomorrow. And he never differs from himself, thank God. So what you do isn't going to change him either. Okay? Oh, we'll make God change. We'll do this and we'll do that. Really? God didn't even change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But a lot of people believe he did. But the only difference is that now his wrath is appeased toward mankind, toward everyone who received Jesus. We're not appointed under wrath because of Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. So everything is now looked at different through Jesus. See? But if there's no Jesus in a person's life, they're still going to suffer the wrath of God. They're still going to suffer his wrath in the end. And so, you know, we're able to view his love and mercy now under the new covenant, which is a better covenant. See, he gave us a better covenant through Christ, because the first one wasn't, you know, obviously was faulted. In the sense that it could never make you righteous. The blood of bulls and goats could never wash away your sin. But now we are able to view God through his love and his mercy, where the Jews, they were blind to his love and mercy, and they still are. Until their eyes are open to the gospel, they're still blind to his love and mercy. They just see him a harsh God, a mean God, a God of wrath, a God of, you know, that opened up the earth and swallowed up the rebellion and Korah and all that. You know, that's the way they see it. That's inaccurate, because, you know, now that Jesus has died and rose from the dead, then we can see God the way more that he really is, and God is love. See? In our dealings with God, we're the ones who need to change, not God. Okay? Did you know that? You think God's the one that needs to change? Come on. Hey, God doesn't need to change. So in our dealings with God, we need to remember we're the ones who need to change. Yeah, some people think, well, God's going to change for me. Okay, let's look at John 14:13. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Did you hear that? He said that we could have anything we ask in his name. In Bible times, to do something in someone's name was to do it in their character. So to ask for something in Jesus' name is to ask in his character. So whatever we ask should not be selfish or of the enemy, because that's not to ask in God's character, right? And you'll not receive an answer. But what is his character? It's revealed in his word, right? By listening to, a person's word, what about him is revealed? Well, if you listen long enough, their character is revealed. His word reveals himself. See? And one of the greatest attributes a Christian can have is what? His availability to God. Why do you say that, Pastor? Why? Well, because availability is changeability, and the devil trembled when he believed that we're going to change and we're going to let God do whatever he wants with us. Oh, my, the devil doesn't want that. He doesn't want to upset. He doesn't want his kingdom upset. He doesn't want his house upset. He doesn't want the demons that are attached to us upset. How you position yourself in life makes all the difference. So you can't see the ocean by facing the land, right? And you can't see the sun if you're looking at the ground. And you can't change if you stubbornly insist and persist in looking at the ground when God wants you to look up at him, at the S-O-N, sun. See? And so a lot of people are just stubborn that way. They persist in being stubborn. They have a stubborn spirit, and they need to get delivered from the stubbornness, right? But see, the opportunities and blessings that God sends, they won't wake up usually those that are asleep, unfortunately. And see, that's a problem. That's why some people that I've seen for decades now have been holding to false doctrine. People don't believe in deliverance still to this day, even though they've seen more and been exposed to more. They're still sleeping. They won't wake up in those areas that they're sleeping in. See, so when we don't position ourselves to receive and change, when we don't, it's like praying for an outpouring and then just carrying around a coffee cup. Oh, Lord, I need an outpouring from God. Pour out heaven on me. And then all you got is a little coffee cup or a little water cup. Come on, listen. God has water for you to swim in. Come on, what do you mean, just a little coffee cup? You want God on your terms or do you want God on his terms? Don't pray for rain if you're going to complain about the flood and the mud that they come. Hey, see, we typically see things not as they are, but as we are. And then that is unfortunate because we're not always accurate. I mean, know that we don't line up with the word, we're not accurate, okay? If we're not lining up with God's word and we don't have ourselves in agreement with God, then we're not accurate. And so, we're seeing things as we are, and we're not accurate. So we need to change to see them as they really are and change ourselves so that we can get ourselves accurate instead of being inaccurate. And this is the key that many people never even get. So they walk their whole Christian life, 30, 40, 50 years, still wrong, right? And too often our minds are looked on just, you know, they're looked on just one track. I mean, we're looking for white, so we overlook the blue and the green. We're looking at life with one-track mind. We're looking through a narrow view sometimes, and we're missing out on things of God. See, we're thinking about yesterday and tomorrow, and God is saying, hey, change now, this now, this now, this now. See? Look to me now. You know, we're looking all around us, and the answer is right under our nose here, huh? But by how we position ourselves, we will see the evidence of God everywhere, or we'll see the evidence of God nowhere. Did you hear me? By how we position ourselves, we will see the evidence of God everywhere or nowhere. I think that's quite a statement, something to think about. Something to think about. Let's read a scripture, kind of a little bit to go with this, and Isaiah 66. Verse 2, and it says here, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. See, what are we looking at today? Do we tremble at his word? Do we have a contrite spirit? Huh? He says, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man will I look. So, yeah, God's looking. But when we get in the right place, we're ready to receive all God has for us. Okay? And I think that, you know, we need to thank the Lord for thoroughly clothing us and to help us to get in the right place you know, and tell him that I'm available for change. So you can form me, you can make me, you can mold me, you can do what you want in me, Lord. Amen. Have you told him that? Look, the devil, he knows. If you think you're nothing, and you're no threat to him, see, he can come and live in you and cause you to live in fear, and fear your life will fail and fall apart, and any minute and everything's gonna crumble, and the whole world's gonna crumble and fall apart, and everybody's just gonna die, and you're gonna die, and you're not gonna make it. No. You know, the devil knows that he can get away with that. He's done it for a long time in your life. But see, when you begin to realize and when you recognize in Christ, whom you are building together, a holy temple unto God, you are a saint of God and a conqueror and the head and not the tail. And you will begin to rule and reign over Satan and his forces, and this is what the enemy fears. See, this is right now, there's a segment of the body of Christ that is rising up and taking authority, and really taking authority. He said, no, devil, you are not going to dominate me. You are not going to dominate this world I live in. You're not going to control me. See, and they're taking their God-given authority. They're fighting the good fight of faith. They're acting with the enemy to the point of putting him in his place under their feet. And there is a segment that is compromising. There is a segment of Christianity that is saying whatever the government tells them to say, like that John Piper telling everybody to get jabbed. Really, John Piper, you've missed God. See, you've missed God. God didn't tell us to be subject to Caesar. I don't know. He told us to be subject and obey God, right? Oh, yeah, he said, render unto Caesar the things of the Caesar and the things of God. Well, what are the things that are God? Everything that lines up with the word of God. That's why the disciples said it's better to obey God than to obey man, because they got to line up with the things of God. Because we live in the last days world. The world is going to become more, the government is going to be more and more antichrist. So what is with this segment of Christians that are lining themselves up with whatever the government tells me, my president said? And really, he's not my president, okay? I didn't vote for him, and I don't believe he's a legitimate president, in my opinion, because I believe that, yeah, that most likely the election was stolen. But that's my opinion on that. But the point is, who is really our president? Who do we really serve, see? What is with this segment of Christians? We have recognized there is no other God but Jesus. There is no other God but Father God. And if there is no other God that we serve, we don't bow down to God of government. No, the Bible is, I mean, this government anyway is supposed to be for the people and by the people, not by the government to subject the people. That's not the way the Constitution of the country was set up. See? But people, again, they don't do that. They don't even follow what the legitimate government was set up to be, nor do they follow biblical government for the most part. But anyway, there's a segment of this way and a segment that's doing whatever they're told, and then there's a segment that's taking their authority and refusing to do everything that they're told because they know that they have to obey God rather than man. What if Rahab the harlot, you know, what if she just, well, hey, we're from the government. Have you had spies in your house today? And she would have told them the truth. But see, she didn't. She lied. They told her to lie, and she lied. God basically told the woman to lie and protect the people of God. And yet Rahab the harlot did that, right? Remember Rahab the harlot in Jericho and all of that? Hey, and she got saved in her house, and her house was in the lineage of Christ. So don't tell me it's everybody that does everything that you're told by some government that is the one that's going to make it with God. No, do you think that God would have you to go and abort your child? Well, the government said it's okay, and the government trying to give you all the money you want for it. Go kill all the children you want. You might as well just have a dozen of them, a dozen abortions. Right. Really? You think that God's okay with that? Come on. Listen, it's better to obey God than to obey man. That's the bottom line that we need to remember when it talks about render to Caesar the things that Caesar is unto God, the things that are God. See, we don't render the things that are unto God first and foremost, right? Because that's what really counts in eternity. But anyway, I didn't mean to get sidetracked on that. I need to finish up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to have to come to the place here where we hate our own life and we love his life. He that keepeth his life shall lose it. But we must hate ours and take on his life. See, nothing is really going to change in our lives until we see it in ourselves and the eyes of our understanding are open and we actually hate it. See, we're not going to deal with the stuff that's wrong in our life until we begin to hate it and we see it and start seeing it and we start seeing the demons that are behind it. See, you can't stand it. You want it out. Well, good. It's time now. Because now you can't stand it. Now you don't like it anymore. Now you realize it. Now you know that it's demonic. Now you've had your eyes open. You got some discernment. Let's get rid of it. Have you ever done or said something, and after doing it, you saw an unpleasant way that you were, that you hated? Oh, man, how could I have acted that way? How could I have done that? How could I have said that? Well, then you're a candidate for change and more of God. This is how it happens. We wake up. We start seeing, wow, didn't want to be that way. Didn't realize I've been that way. See, God wants change in you. And that change is to be from glory to glory, from through death to the self-life and the self-rule. We need to hate it to live. Can't stand yourself? Good. Get ready for change. Get ready for God to work by the Spirit of God in you. Change, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You can't stand your children? Then die to them and turn them over to God. Quit trying to make them into your own image. And let God make them what he wants to make them. You need to release your grip of control until you really do, God can't exercise his authority and blessing over, you know, your children's life or someone else's life or your life where you're involved in their life, where you have control there. See, God wants you blessed more than you can imagine. But the way to that blessing is the death, and we always like going that direction. You know, we have to die to live, just like Jesus died and then he rose from the dead. We died with him, and now we're risen in a newness of life. And there'll be many newnesses of life throughout our lifetime as we continue to grow in grace and truth. But we need to let it take place. Let the process take place. Not rebel against the process, folks. We're in a maturing process here, every one of us. We don't know everything, none of us. We're all at various stages of growth, of spiritual growth. And hopefully, you know, we're hungry enough that we're going to keep on growing spiritually. Because in these latter days, I don't know how any one of you would not want to grow spiritually. Because listen, if you're not growing spiritually, you're just simply not prepared for what's ahead in the days ahead that we have to face yet before the return of Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I've read the book of Revelation, and I know the Lord is going to protect the church through this time and be with us and make some deliverances, some mighty deliverances for us. But still, we have to walk through these times, through the flood, through the fire, through the difficulties of the latter days. And yet I know that he's going to move mightily on the behalf of his children. Like I said, there's this segment of people of God that are really getting serious about God and getting serious about their authority, getting serious about who they are and what they are. See, there's a segment like that. And this is bringing out better in people, in some people, the God in them, because they already got God in them, right? It's bringing out more of God in them, and they're hungry for God. But that's not the majority. Unfortunately, I don't see it as being the majority. And that's sad. I wish it would be more, because we're going to have to be able to believe God in these latter days like we never believed God before. We're going to have to be able to speak to sickness and disease and rebuke it somehow. The authority that this COVID spirit has come in with has overwhelmed a lot of Christians, overwhelmed a lot of people, and killed a lot of people. had to hear that Shelley Dizdar died here today, I believe it was. And she'd been in the ICU and been in the hospital and just lost her husband this week also. These are tragic things. These are tragic attacks. These are demonic attacks. There are things that we do not know about overcoming these diseases and overcoming sickness, demons, spirits that have been sent by the dark rulers of this world who try to send plagues on people, demonic-empowered plagues. There are things that we don't know about speaking to these things and putting them gone in Jesus' name, getting them out of people. Get him out of bodies. Get him out of our bodies. There are things that we need to know to live through these end times victoriously. Because Jesus said he gave us some promises in the word. If you lay hands on the sick, they what shall recover. Are they always recovering? No, something's wrong here. Are we always overcoming? No, not. But Jesus said we're end time overcomers. He called us that. He called us as victorious in Christ. He calls us to triumph in Christ. See, there's a lot of Christians that are not triumphing in Christ. There's a lot of things, see, that we are missing, that we are not getting into deep enough because we're not hungry enough. And we're not crying out at the feet of Jesus, you know, in faith, believing for these things to be manifest in our life. I'm telling you, we're at war, folks, and we've got to get in there, and we've got to become the overcomer that we were called to be. Amen? Man, because we are living in the latter days, and we've been given everything in the book here. Come on, I've seen supernatural signs and wonders. I've seen miraculous deliverances over the years. I've seen all kinds of power of God manifest. And we need to see way more. Way more. And I'm not satisfied with what I see. I want more. I want more of it, God. I want more. I'm hungry for more. I tell you, maybe we've been wasting a lot of time. How much time do Christians waste on Hollywood? How much time do they waste on endless endeavors that are fruitless, that absolutely bring forth no spiritual fruit whatsoever? Time do we waste in simple foolishness that's going where doing nothing, accomplishing nothing? And when we could be studying the Word of God, could be meditating on the Word of God, praying, seeking God, what's wrong? I know it's a battle to do that, people, because we are busting through some devil that don't want us studying the Word of God, don't want us praying, don't want us fasting, don't want us getting spiritual breakthroughs and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles in our life, just like Jesus did when he walked the face of the earth. Why should it be any different for us as a church today? See? Because we're just going to do what Jesus worked. Jesus said, greater work than these shall do ye do because I go to my Father, which is in heaven. What about these scriptures? What about those scriptures? See, that said the spirits are subject to you. We need to command that COVID spirit to be subject to. You know, we got attacked. But we didn't die from it, and we're overcoming, and we're getting better in Jesus' name, and we rebuked it the whole time, even at the times it was difficult to fight when you're feeling miserable. And I shouldn't have got it, but I got my body. I think I let my body get weak, and I should have done it. I knew when I was doing it, I should have done it. See, I should have given place to eating that way. And I don't ever eat that way normally, and it's just that certain things set themselves in front of them. That's what I think was the attack there. But in Jesus' name, regardless of how that attack got through, you know, every person is going to get attacked in some area of their life, and we're going to have to learn to deal with our attacks, right? We're going to have to learn to deal with them and overcome them and not have them overwhelm us. And right now, we need to rebuke things. Whatever's attacking your life, you need to be rebuking it. You need to be going to war against it. Whatever that is, it may be something in a family member, it may be something getting to you. It might be some spirit that's dominating still in your family line that's dominated for all these years and you still don't recognize it. You still haven't got a clue what it is. Well, it's time you know what it is. It's time that some things get stopped. You hear what I'm saying? It's time that some things change. And what segment of the body of Christ are you going to be? You're going to be those that walk in the power of God, or are you going to be walking around in fear? Because there's a whole lot of Christians that walk around in fear. And I'm telling you, give me the chapter and verse for that one. You don't have one. You don't have a leg to stand on. The Bible says God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Where are you getting that compromise of fear? Where are you getting the right of justification for that? He says fear not all through the word of God, and yet you're giving place to the fear? God didn't give you that demon. It's a spirit. The Bible says God didn't give you a spirit of fear. So where is the spirit coming from when he tells you? It didn't come from him when he told you all this. Coming from the dark one, the evil one, the evil one. We recognize what's going on here and resist the devil and he will flee. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, there's going to have to be a level of resistance in most Christians that they've never walked in. You hear what I'm saying? There's going to have to be a level of resistance in most people in the church that they have never walked in. Because I've watched Christians, and I've watched their level of life for almost 40 years of ministry, 37 years. How many? Since 83. Long time of being in the ministry and watching Christians, all different kinds of Christians for all these years, watching their life, watching their level of faith, watching their what they got from God and what they didn't get from God and what victory they got over the devil and what their victory they didn't ever get over the devil. And wow. We're going to have to go deeper. We're going to have to go deeper, people. We're going to have to get more of God. I know there's more available, and I know that, you know, most people that do, that's a big deal for them to even pick up their Bible and read it once a day. But see, that's got to change, people. That's got to change. You're going to have to be a hunger and thirst for God. I could go on and on. Father, we thank you for the time we've had in the Word. But I'm going to move on, and we're going to do some deliverance here tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the enemy. We rebuke him and tell him that we got to get under our feet in Jesus' name. We rebuke the COVID spirit. We rebuke these spirits of infirmities in Jesus' name. Command them to go. We rebuke you out of our bodies in the name of Jesus. You are a lying bunch of devils, and we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You go right now. You spirits that are coming try to stir things up. Even through this Halloween thing that has just happened and all the demons that have been released and the evil things that have taken place and little things that people don't even recognize that are demons have been released through this Halloween garbage. Christians partaking of it. Around this area, all these different churches partook of Halloween and putting in candy and have tricks. And they have treats and call it this, that, the other. Ah, but it's still partaking of the devil, and they still released a bunch of devils. Lord, I'm grieved about that. I'm grieved that Christians don't know better. I'm just grieved to look at Christians and see them doing stupid, ignorant things still, even though they have the Word of God, and the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of the enemy's device, and we're not supposed to be anyway, but most Christians are. Father, I'm grieved about that. Forgive me, Lord. I just got to move on in prayer here. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for waking people up. How long is it going to be? Wake them up, Father. Wake them up. Open the eyes of their understanding. Let them see what's really going on and what's really taking place and the attacks that are taking place because of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Open the eyes of the church's understanding. Open them up. Let them begin to get it in Jesus' name and awaken, Father. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here because most people listen to this broadcast because they are awakened to things. And they do know that there's demons and all this stuff is really going on. So, but, Lord, I'm sharing with you, Lord, and you know my heart. I agree for the church, Lord, and the condition I see a lot of them in today. And it's sad because I've been a lot of years leading a segment of your church. And thank God for those who we've had over the years who have learned, Lord, and grown and matured in grace and all that. Anyway, praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, we give it a glory. And now we're going to just do some deliverance by the grace of God. And we thank you for this time of deliverance as we come into a time period of deliverance. I'm not going to take the normal break today, the intermission, because I've run out of time talking. And I want to have some time to do some deliverance tonight as we close out the time. And I really am angry about this. And I'm talking, when I say angry, I mean a righteous anger. I'm not mad at the devil. I'm not mad at people. I love people and care about people. But I do get angry at the devil and what he's doing and a lot of church people and a lot of the world. And so I'm angry right now about this COVID thing. And I don't have the full revelation of it, but I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. It's just sad to hear that these people today, I mean, these people let me know this week that they got COVID. And I feel for them, and I rebuke the spirit of COVID right now. Wherever it's snaking around and trying to weasel its little way in and get on people, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We rebuke the way of that COVID and the control of that COVID. We rebuke the spirit of COVID. If it's on your life right now, we command it to come out of there in Jesus' name. We command the spirit of COVID to come out. We command all that's behind it, the gates of hell, right? The Bill Gates, the gates of hell, all of that. We rebuke those spirits that are behind it in Jesus' name from coming on you too and trying to bring death. We rebuke the spirit of death right now because they're trying to kill so many people. So many are dying all over the world. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. We rebuke the spirit of death and this harvest of death that Satan is harvesting right now. And we say, no, devil, you're not killing me. Just say that over yourself right now. No, devil, you're not killing me in Jesus' name. Just say that. No, devil, you're not killing me in Jesus' name. I apply the life of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over me right now. Just apply that blood. Because the Bible says the life is in the blood. So apply that life to your mortal body and let it quicken your mortal body as well. And let the Spirit of God quicken your mortal body. Let the Spirit of God bring healing. And let the blood of Jesus run through you and bring forth the life of God right now. We apply that blood against all these demons of death. And we command every spirit of death to come out right now. Come out of every organ in your body. In Jesus' name, command that spirit of death to come out of your heart, your circulatory system, your lungs. In Jesus' name, come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out right now, you spirit of death. I rebuke you, and I rebuke you. Hey, if you haven't anointed your house with oil and put the blood on your doorpost, right, to keep that spirit of death from visiting your house, you need to do it. You need to anoint your house with oil, the place you live, your apartment, your mobile home, whatever you live in. Anoint it with oil again if you haven't done it in a long time. Hey, just keep the spirit of death and keep that death out of your house, those devils of death. In Jesus' name, we rebuke those death devils, all that spirit of death and darkness. That death off your lungs, that death off your legs, that death off your organs. Get out of your body. Command those death spirits out of your body right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you go right now. We command you to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of death to go. All of it, every bit of it, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. The blood is against you right now. Every bit of that death in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have to anoint your home 5-10 times with oil before you win the complete victory. You know, it's a spiritual battle, people. Spiritual battle. I've anointed this place a number of times already, a bunch of times. I'm trying to remember, was it 5 times I've anointed this? And I hadn't been here that long in this place. Somewhere between 3 and 5 times. I forget. But I've anointed a bunch of times already. And I'm going to go do it again. I'm not done. This is, you got to take possession of the land. And the violent go in there and they take the possession of the things of God. And the enemy, they have to force him out of the way, see? Because the violent, you got to be violent to go in and take what's yours. Because the enemy doesn't want you having it. He is resisting the things of God. He's resisting the things of God. He doesn't want you to walk in these kind of authorities. Now come out of there. Every spirit of death in the body. Get out of the body right now. Get out of the body. Get out of the leg. Get out of the voice. Yeah, we rebuke you. Try to take my voice. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus over my voice, the blood of Jesus over my mind, over your mind right now. I apply the blood over your mind. We command that spirit of death to your mind to get out of your mind. That spirit of confusion in the mind, come out of the mind. All that confusion, that spirit of confusion, trying to confuse the people of God today. You come out of there right now, right now. All confusion, come out. Out, 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 out of there. Out, out, out. Come out, spirit of confusion. Come out. Come out, spirit of confusion. There's confusion in the land because there's confusion in the land. People don't know whether they're a male or a female or an it. They don't have that. That's confusion. When you don't know what God created you to be, there's confusion in the land, and they're trying to force that on everybody and force that confusion on the government school system, make the kids all learn confusion. Well, we rebuke that spirit of confusion. And command that spirit of confusion to go right now. Loose people's minds. Let them go. And let them go right now. All the way out of their minds right now. All that confusion. We rebuke the spirit of confusion and perversion. The spirit of perversion, you go too. All that perversion. Go, go. Get out. All the way out. All that perversion. All that perversion. So many people are ruled by perverse thoughts. Because there's such a perversion been released on the nation. We rebuke the perversion, the unclean, dirty thoughts, the lustful thoughts, the unclean, filthy thoughts. Come out, the filthiness, the lust, the dirty thoughts. Come out, 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 come out. You could get so dominated and controlled that you spend most of your time dealing with lustful stuff. And that's not what God would have for your life. Listen, don't spend half your life or more just dealing with lustful stuff and never getting past it. God wants you to move on with him and grow in grace and grow in truth. We rebuke those lustful thoughts. We rebuke fantasy lust. We rebuke masturbation spirits. Come out. Come out, masturbation. Come out of there, fantasy lust. Come out. 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 Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. All those unclean sexual spirits, come out. Unclean sexual spirits, come out now, all the way out. I bind you, I break your hold, I break your control over people. Come out. Come out, those unclean sexual spirits, move. In Jesus' name, that sexy unclean spirit, you come out. Sexual uncleanness, go. We break the curse, the generational curse, too, over the family line. We break that sexual uncleanness curse. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that stubborn self-will tonight. I rebuke that stubborn self-will. You go right now, that stubborn self-will. Go in Jesus' name. All that stubborn self-will that's just going to keep on being the same way you've always been, because after all, that's the way you want to be. If you really didn't want to be that way, you'd quit being that way and start getting free and start getting out of agreement, whatever it takes. That's how you do, whatever it takes. I'm going to get out of agreement with these demons. I'm not going to stay in agreement with these ways of thinking, whatever it takes. I'm going to live the rest of my life in fear. I'm going to get out of agreement with that fear. See, if you're living in the spirit of fear, you got to do whatever it takes. You got to say whatever it takes. You got to call upon the name of the Lord in whatever way that it takes and get those spirits out of your life, the dominant force. And don't be stubborn and self-willing where you're just going to have your way and stay the way you want to be because that's the way you want to be. Oh, that's too bad that you're stubborn. Too bad that you've given place to stubbornness, because God says that we're to be pliable in the master's hand, not stubborn in the master's hand. Amen? Well, I rebuke the spirit of stubbornness. We rebuke the generational curses of stubbornness right now. We break the curse of stubbornness right now and command that stubbornness to go in Jesus' name, to come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there. Stubbornness, come out. All that stubborn self-will, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. That strong will, too, that resists the will of God. Come out. That stubborn, strong self-will, come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All that self-destructive spirit, too, you come out. Self-destruction. In Jesus' name, that self-destruction, you go. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them and let them go. All the way out, that self-destruction. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. Come out, that swearing spirit. You come out right now. That profanity. Profanity. You go right now, all the way out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come out, profanity. And I rebuke the spirit of profanity. Come out, cursing. Come out. Come out of the tongue right now, that cursing spirit. In Jesus' name, go. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, go. Come out. All that profanity. All that foul mouth. Come on. In Jesus' name. Some Christians surprise themselves at what comes out of their mouth. Right? And they should recognize, hey, you've got demons and you need to get rid of them. Instead of just being surprised at what come out of your mouth, recognize there's some deeply embedded spirits in that area. Hey, well, listen, haven't you been listening to profanity all your life? You've been around it. You hear it at work. You hear it on Hollywood and all these different places. So is it any wonder that it comes out your mouth? Well, we break the curse of it. We break the control over it and command it to come out right now. All that profanity. Go in Jesus' name. And a lot of Christians don't see nothing wrong with using profanity. I hear some Christians use it regularly. Wait a minute. The Bible says let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. What are you doing using profanity? You know, I don't understand. I've heard those who claim to be Christian use the Lord's name in vain. How can they do that? You know, there's something, some spirits that are just have a foothold there that haven't been dealt with. You got to be wanting to deal with the spirits, not just, you know, hoping they'll go. Yeah. Hey, let's deal with unbelief tonight. We command that unbelief to come out right now. That unbelief has really been attacking the church too, you know, trying to get people where they don't believe God anymore. But look at the COVID, how that's done all this and all this other stuff that's happening. And we rebuke that unbelief. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth when I return? See, that's how much of an attack there's going to be on faith and walking by faith. So we rebuke the spirits of unbelief right now. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke every spirit of unbelief. Command them to go in Jesus' name. All you unbelief spirits, you have to go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out. Come out, unbelief. Come out. Come out, unbelief. Come out. All that unbelief. In the name of Jesus, go. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All unbelief. All rebellion, you come out too. Rebellion, come out. All that rebellion in Jesus' name, come out. Come out, rebellion. Come out, rebellion in Jesus' name. All the way out. Go, go, go. All the way out. Keep coming out. All the way in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Keep coming out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray for a family mentioned here in the chat room. Ask you to bless her and her family and protect her from all wickedness and evil. We bind the wicked spirits that have attacked her in Jesus' name. And I thank you for a hedge of protection around about her. Father, I pray for peace in the family. I pray for restoration where the enemy tried to stir something up. And we rebuke that demonic attack. In Jesus' name, I thank you for peace and grace, Father. We shout grace against the enemy there. Shout grace to the situation there. In Jesus' name, as it says in the Word, shout grace, grace, grace to it. And we do. In Jesus' name, we just pray you bless the family and minister to the family, all of them. In Jesus' name, and pray that they be convicted where they have fallen into sin and deception. As well, in Jesus' name, and repent and come to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just continue to command out these spirits of rebellion right now. All that rebellion, you come out. all that rebellion. Come on out. The blood is against you right now. All that rebellion spirit, rebellious spirit. Rebellion is working with witchcraft and stubbornness. You come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Keep it coming out of there. Every bit of it. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, we come against self-deception. Jesus' name. Self-deception. Come out. All that self-deception. In Jesus' name, you go. Self-deception. We rebuke you. You have to go now. In Jesus' name, loose the people and let them go. All that self-deception from false doctrines and false beliefs, you go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the time we've had of deliverance and the time we've had in your word. I want to thank you for the grace, Lord, that you've given our lives, Father, that you surround us with angels. And hedge your protection, Father, we thank you that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty, under your wings we shall trust. We thank you, Lord, that we are blessed going in and coming out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Thank you for the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed, Lord, daily, Father, by your Spirit, Father. We thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand is pleasure forevermore, Father. Thank you so much for your love for us, Father. Thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for sealing this deliverance that people have received tonight. And thank you, Lord. We just release healing in Jesus' name for those that are sick. In the name of Jesus, bodies be healed in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your body. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the body. And we command the body in the name of Jesus to line up with the word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. Therefore, you are healed. But also line up with Psalm 103 that says, it forgiveth all your iniquity, who healeth all your diseases. Body, all your diseases. You hear me? Body, you listen to me. You tell your body, you listen to me. Heal all your diseases. Jesus healed all your diseases. Jesus heals all your diseases. You speak to that body right now in Jesus' name. And that body has to obey in Jesus' name and line up with the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word that our bodies line up with the word of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Well, that's another program already gone by. It's about 8 o'clock now, so we've run out of time. I appreciate you listening tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you. The Lord bless you. We love you, appreciate you. Thank you for tuning into this program. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. The Lord be with you this weekend. And may he minister to you and encourage you and keep you in his secret place. Amen. All right. Well, good night now. And we will see you back next week. Joe. Okay, folks. Well, that's all tonight. And love you. Appreciate you. God bless you. And good night to you. And we will see you back next week.